So yes, we are. We're beginning a new series today called Outside of the Box. And so really, this series is all about influence. It's not necessarily kind of the way that you think about it, because there's a lot of books about influence. We're not going to kind of really go there. There's great books on, you know, how to win friends and influence people, and how to influence your kids, and how to influence your colleagues and coworkers, and all of those sort of things. But today, and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a series that is really about how to influence in a way that we've kind of lost the ability to influence other people in this particular way of influence. And so we want to look at something that I believe that if we go about influencing our community, our neighbors, our family, it would just change their lives. It would be a breath of fresh air in their lives. So what is this influence that we're talking about and what we will be talking about? Well, if you remember, if you've been following us for a little while, this summer we did a message series called Sermon on the Mount, where we looked at the most influential message ever given. It was given by Jesus Christ, called the Sermon on the Mount. And in that message, and he was speaking to a lot of people just like you, just normal people. They were merchants, fishermen, just farmers, just regular old people. He wasn't talking to the intellectual elite, religious leaders. He was just talking to normal people. And he said these words to the masses out there, just like I think it would be just the same as he would say to you and I today. He said this: you are the light of the world, okay? The light, not a light of lots of different lights, but you are the light. You are the clarity, if you will, to a confused world. That's influence. And that's the kind of influence that God envisioned for us as people called the church to go and have that kind of influence into this world, that we are to be the people who give clarity to a confused world, to give clarity about meaning and purpose, clarity about God and who he is, clarity about us and our own brokenness and our own hurt, clarity about how we are to relate to one another, and to clear up the confusion that we have around all of these different things in order to bring us back into an intimate relationship with God and with each other, by which also gives us great peace and joy, all the things that God desires for us to have. That is a kind of influence that I'm talking about. I believe that over the years that influence that God has called us to have has been waning. That influence that we are to have in our culture and into the lives of the people that we do life with is beginning to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And so instead of having influence that breathes life and joy and unity, oftentimes what we're experiencing in our lives is anxiety, depression, isolation, disunity, none of the things that God has designed us for or desired for us to have. And so what I want us to do over the next few weeks is kind of recapture that influence that God desires for us to have in this world, okay? And so I have here with me is this box, this big box here. This box represents kind of our lives, if you will. It also represents our lives together as a church body, okay? And so in this box, as it kind of represents to us, just imagine with me that this box representing our lives, what we do is we kind of put stickers on here. We put like political stickers, our affiliation, who we're going to vote for. We put other kind of bumper stickers on this thing that express who we are, what we're about, our opinions, our thoughts about life and about epidemiology and how to deal with this whole pandemic. We live on the outside the things that we wish for or how we want to be perceived in culture, all of these things that we tend to kind of carry along with us. But unfortunately, we carry those along with us with the one thing, the one influence that God desires for us to have deep down inside of that. Or what we tend to say is, hey, here's God. And what we really kind of give to other people is us and our lives. Okay, in order to understand God, you have to understand my political affiliation. In order to understand who God really is, you need to hear about my opinions about whether we should wear masks or not. And if you want to hear about God, you know, you really need to understand what it means to be a white middle-aged guy. And that's the furthest from the truth. In fact, when we do that, we actually give more confusion than clarity. That's not the clarity that God has calling us to. It's the same thing. We can do the same thing as a church body. If this is like River Run Church, we can put all of our stickers on here. We can put our River Run logo on here. We can put a picture of our building on here. We can put other stickers on here, the way that we do our worship, the kind of music that we do, the fact that we're non-denominational, all of these stickers that we can put on there, and we say, here's Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ looks like. Here's the influence that God wants us to have, all of these things in this box. And not ever really realizing the true clarity that the people really need is found only somewhere inside this box. And that's kind of what we do. You know, let me ask you the question. When was the last time that you really had a conversation with other people around Jesus Christ? When's the last time you had a conversation around the political election coming up? Or when's the last time you had a conversation with somebody telling them about, man, there's this God who loves them so much that sent their son Jesus Christ to die for you so you can live with him forever? And when was the last time you had a conversation or posted something on Facebook about masks and not wearing masks? So a lot of times what we do is we take the things that are the most important, that change people's lives, that have the greatest influence, and we kind of stuff it in the box. So really our goal is, for the next few weeks, is to get outside the box and take the thing that's really important. It's not only important to our lives, but it's important to other people's lives, to give clarity that this, and what this represents, changes lives, is the influence that this world really so desperately needs. This is the clarity, the light, if you will. So we want to regain our influence, okay? Not our churchy influence or our cultural Christian influence or our thoughts and opinions about stuff of this world. We want to be able to give the clarity that people really need, because it's in this clarity of God's love for us that lives change, people's relationships with God are reconnected, and there's peace and there's joy. Because let me tell you something, okay? Not everybody really maybe want to hear our opinions and thoughts about, you know, political stuff and things of this world. But I guarantee you that there's not a person on this planet who wouldn't want to know that there's a living God who loves them, that desires a relationship with them forever. I don't think there's a person who wouldn't want to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't think there's of the 7 billion people, I don't think there's anybody in this world who would say, nah, I don't really need any joy. You know what? No, I don't really need an amazing group of people to do life with who love me unconditionally, who know all my warts and all my issues, but yet they still stand with me, they still love me, and they still want to encourage my healing and strengthening in my life and to be able to have those enriched relationships. I don't know anybody who doesn't want those things. And so I believe that it's so important for us to get back to the basics and get back to a more pure type of influence into this world. Now you say, wait a minute, Tyler, how in the world can I have an influence over my family members, coworkers, and neighbors, and anybody I do life with when I'm not really a pastor? Well, that's kind of a box type of thinking. Here's something that's important for you to understand. And so there was a theologian guy whose name was Michael Green. He was an Oxford professor. And he said this, and looking back at church history, the early church, he said that 80% of the influence of people sharing the amazing, wonderful things of God were given to people not by clergy or people in a platform like this. It was given by people just like you. People who just simply shared with other people what God had given them. Just to explain to other people why they are the way that they are. And just to explain to other people why they trust God, why they follow him, why they go and worship him. That's how this whole movement began 2,000 years ago. Has been changing people's lives all around the world. In fact, we've kind of bought into this idea, especially with our culture, which is all about lights, camera, action, professionals, and things like that. We bought into this notion that really what we need is we need the right leader. We need the right charismatic communicator. We need all of these things. Jesus Christ shows us all throughout Scripture and all throughout even his movement into the church and the early church is that God doesn't need that. He just needs ordinary people who go and just give their life away and share their life with other people. Particularly how you share your life with God in the center of that. So that's what we're going to talk about over these next few weeks. So today we're going to look at three things that I believe that just kind of get us going, that helps us to kind of easily make that transition to move from a life where the cross is in the box, the good news of Jesus Christ is in somewhere in our lives, but it's not really, you know, out there. Nobody really knows it. But to slowly move us to a place by which not only do we feel comfortable being who we are, a person who follows a person who was willing to die like this, but also to inspire us and encourage us that other people in this world need exactly what you have in Christ Jesus. So the first thing I want you to kind of think about is, and I want you to kind of really go back to, is to remember when the good news was brought to you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there was someone who came to you and shared with you the amazing things of God, and you know, and it made an eternal trajectory change in your life. That somebody was willing to get out of the box and just say, let me tell you about the God who loves you, who is living, who is not just somewhere out there, but he is intimately involved in our lives and desires for us to have an intimate relationship with. Let me tell you about his unconditional love for you. Let me tell you that he knows everything about you, but he still contends for you and is even willing to die for you so you can be with him forever. Let me tell you about it. Somebody shared that with you, and it changed your life. Sometimes when we think about influence, we need to remember where we came from, okay? And also, most importantly, where we came from in our relationship with God. I want to share with you, and I want us to walk through a portion of a letter that a guy named Paul wrote. He wrote this letter to a church in Corinth. Paul wrote a lot of our New Testament letters, and in this letter, he was writing to a church that was dealing with a lot of fragmentation. There was a lot of division. They were more focused on the box, okay, rather than focused on Christ. And in focusing on the box, what it did was create a lot of division. And so what we see is that Paul writes this letter to deal with those issues, and particularly, though, to bring them back out of the box and onto their focus onto Jesus Christ. And so he writes these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're going to start here. And he says, let me remind you. And I love these words here because oftentimes in our Western church culture, we tend to go to church in order to learn something new. And it's good. You should be learning something new. In fact, you should always be in scripture or getting going through great programs like Emmaus and learning all about scripture. But sometimes, though, we need to not just learn new stuff. We need to be reminded of the stuff that we already know, that we forgot, that we got distracted. We got distracted by the box. And we got distracted by life. And so and in that distraction, we hid the good news of Jesus Christ deep down in our lives, and we forgot how important this is, not only to our lives, but also the lives of other people that we do life with. So he said, let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, remember the good news I preached to you. Remember when I came to you and I shared with you all the amazing things of God, the fact that he loves you and he sent his son to die for you so you can have a relationship with him, and that he loves you unconditionally. And he wants you to receive that amazing gift to be with him forever. Do you remember that? Because I want to remind you of that, because I feel like you're getting really distracted by all the things that are going on in this world. That you're not only divisive with one another, but you're also losing your influence in culture. So I want to remind you of that amazing, incredible news that I came and gave to you that changed your life. And you remember how you received it? You welcomed it. Okay? And you still stand firm in it. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when somebody shared that good news with you? How did you welcome it? I don't know about you, but I remember when I was 16 years old, I was in Colorado, and I heard this guy just talk about, about how God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for my sins. And I recognized, man, I'm not perfect. And so that resonated with me. And the fact that, you know, God is holy and righteous and I'm separated from him because he's righteous and I'm not, you know, and recognize that that's true. I get that. I understand that. That Jesus Christ died in order to bring me back to him, to pay for the penalty of my sins that I deserve, but to bring me back into a relationship with him. When I remember that and hearing that, It blew my mind. You know why? Because I went to church every single week. But when I heard that message, it was like, whoa, that was at that moment that finally I kind of came to my senses and realized the implications of God's love for me through the death and sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, and raising him from the dead. And when I welcomed it, you know, when I heard that, I welcomed it with incredibly open arms and recognized how much God loves me. How about you? What was it like when you heard those news that God loves you and that he went the furthest distance that anyone can go to the point of voluntarily dying for you in order for you to have a relationship with the one who made you? Probably, being a pastor for 20 years or so, it probably was pretty awesome. One of the beautiful things that I get to do is hear people's story, have them be baptized, and to hear their story of life change. It's incredible. Most people go, man, this is amazing. I don't know anybody who hears those good news of Jesus Christ and kind of go, well, oh well. No, when they recognize how sweet the love of God is, you just see just the light bulbs of not just in the mind, but then the heart just light up. And so what Paul is saying, he says, you remember that? Sometimes it's important for us to go back. We get so distracted about all the things of this world, and those distracted things are the only thing that we really influence the world with, when we should be going back and just reminding ourselves of the incredible things that God has done for us. And it's through that that inspires us again to go and give that same thing that someone gave to us away to someone else. In fact, Paul goes on and he says, hey, you know this good news? It's the good news that saves you. This is good stuff because it saves you. If you continue to believe this, the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. It's good news because it saves you. Let me tell you, if you're drowning and somebody goes and they jump into the water and they bring you out of that water, that's pretty good, isn't it? It's not like, oh, no, they saved me from drowning. That's amazing. And so what we see here is that we are drowning in our sin, drowning in trying to figure out this whole thing of how life is supposed to work, drowning in the stress and anxiety of wondering whether our life has meaning or purpose, drowning in the fear of death, all of these things that we drown in. But the good news is that we have a God who jumps in and saves us by giving his life for us. He says, man, this is great stuff because it saves you from all of those things in this life that are just bringing you down and bringing chaos and stress and hurt and pain in your life. And then he says this, and this is really important. He said, you know what? I passed on to you what was most important. Okay? Now, this is important. So Paul talks about what's the most important. And in a second here, he's kind of defined what is the most important. And he's really saying to this fractured church who's dealing with all sorts of opinions and thoughts about life and how life should operate and how other Christians should operate and how, you know, all of these things, and they're just bent out of shape on so many things. He kind of brings them back to center, if you will. And he says, I pass on to you what was the most important. So I want you to remember those things. Because I believe that what Paul is going to basically say through all of this is that when we remember that, it begins, all the stuff begins to kind of, you know, find its way into the background, all those distractions. And the most important thing becomes center stage, by which then reminds us, oh, all right, I am a sinner, so I don't need to be so prideful. Man, I do mess up, but he still loves me. And I do need to remember that you and I, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, so we need to contend to our relationship with each other. We need to go back to what's most important. And so he says, I pass on to you what was most important, and this is key here, and what had also been passed on to me. You see that? So Paul is basically saying, hey, you know what? This thing was passed on to me, and then I just pass it on to you. And so what's really kind of cool, if you think about it, 2,000 years later, here we are in Florida, that somebody, you know, pass it on to Paul, who then pass it on to these guys, who then pass it on to somebody else, and then pass it on to somebody else, and pass it on to somebody else, and on and on and on and on and on. And then here we are, you and I together, 2,000 years later, part of this lineage of passing on this amazing good news of what is most important that changes our lives, that also has the opportunity to influence and change the lives of other people in our lives. It's an amazing thing. And so it's important for us to remember that God used somebody to pass it on to us, okay? And it's God's vision, it's God's desire for us to take what he has given us through whatever that person gave to us through the message of Jesus Christ, and now to give that message away to other people. But the other thing that's important for us to help us to get the most important thing out of the box is to remember what the good news has meant to you, okay? When was the last time that you really sat down and thought, so what does Christ's sacrifice really mean to me? What does that mean to me? The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what does that really mean? And how does that really impacted my life? Have you ever sat down and really, at least lately, to really ponder and to think about those things? So let me encourage you, if you've been distracted by all the things of this world and you're feeling the stress and anxiety and disconnected from so many things, I encourage you to go back to what is most important, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and remember what it means to you and how it has changed you. In fact, Paul goes on and he says this in that same letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says this, "This is what's most important that I pass on to you. Christ died for our sins." Christ died for our sins. The cool thing about this is just kind of thinking about what this means to me personally is the fact that this statement here makes me realize that I broke this relationship with God because of my sin, okay, because of my selfishness. In fact, that's what breaks all of our relationships is our selfishness. But God in his infinite love took the initiative to mend the relationship that I broke by going the full length of sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That's what it means to me, that God loves me so much that he took the initiative to mend it, but not only took the initiative to mend it, but he was willing to suffer in order to bring me back to him because of all of my junk. It's incredible. It's amazing that now I can live in light of the fact that I have a relationship with God who loves me to this extent. In fact, scripture also says that this love, nothing can separate us from this love, that this love is mine and my relationship with him is secure and set for all eternity because of that. It's incredible. What incredible meaning that means to my life, that even though other people in this world may reject me because of my sins, because of my imperfections, I know that I can feel secure in love because I have a God who loves me. That gives me great security and gives me great peace and joy to be able to go through this life. So he was buried, so he died. And not only did he die for me and he died for you, but he was raised from the dead on the third day. And so you say, wait a minute. So why is this most important as well? Because here's the deal. That God didn't just die so that way he can forgive us our sins. And say, hey, well, I forgive you. But he also rose from the dead so that you and I can have that relationship with him forever. That as God raised Christ from the dead, that he will raise you and I from the dead as well. So we can be with him forever. Well, you know what that means? That means you and I in Christ, we're invincible. That we don't have to worry and fear of the things of this world. That even though we will die, we will be raised to new life. God promises that. And he also showed that historically through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I can now live this life in security and strength of knowing no matter what happens to me, God's got me. I'm with him forever. That love that he has for me is just not temporal for the things of this world. It is eternal because I get to be with him forever. No matter all the chaos and the crazies of this world, you know what? I'm good because I'm secure in my relationship with God because that's really all I need is my relationship with my maker. And not only that, but I get to hang out with him forever and ever. What an incredible blessing that is to be able to realize that you have a hope that is eternal. And your life isn't hopeless. It's hopeful knowing that God loves you and he has a place for you. Not only that, but you have all the benefits that come from these things. That your life, your meaning and purpose and significance is all wrapped up in your relationship with the one who loves you. So you are significant. Your life has matter. It does have meaning. And it finds itself, all of those things, in a God who loves you deeply. Not only that, but even the temporary struggles that we have in this short little life that we have, they're small. They're short because we know that we have eternal life in him. That gives us the great security. So it's important for us to go back and just kind of remind ourselves of all those things that the basics and the most important things of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection mean to us. And why is this so important when it comes to our influence? Because I believe sometimes we forget the incredible gifts that we have. Okay, we remember amazing restaurants, and so we go tell people about these cool restaurants. But I think sometimes we forget about all the cool things that we have in God to go and recommend to other people a better way to live and a better person to live for. and that is Jesus Christ for us. But when we remember those things, I believe that slowly we'll see the cross come more out of the box of our lives and out into the open, by which we just say, hey, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of a guy who would die for me because he loves me. I'm not ashamed of a guy who rose from the dead so I can have eternal life. I'm not ashamed of that. In fact, I'm incredibly grateful for that. And it's really cool that I'm loved by that. And so it gives me great empowerment to be able to share this with other people. And that's why it leads me to the third thing, and that is for us to remember what the good news means or has meant to other people. In other words, that this has meant a lot to so many people throughout history. And it also means a lot, they just may not know it, to the people that are in our lives, our family members, our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, that this is so, so vital and so important. Oftentimes, I believe that sometimes we kind of go through life thinking, you know what, everybody's kind of living in their box, and they got their box, and they're probably good. At least they look good. They appear to be okay. You know, but let me tell you, in 20 years of ministry, most people go through life thinking everybody else, their life is just great and wonderful, and they have no stress, they have meaning and purpose, and they have an eternal outlook. They don't. A lot of people in our culture, and a lot of friends and family members that we may not even realize it, are dealing with so much stuff in their lives because they're trying to figure out life and try to make meaning and sense of life apart from the amazing things that God has offered them and apart from that relationship with Him. That's why when we see somebody who takes their life and we're just shocked and we didn't realize it, or when we start having conversation or we're like a little bit bold and we kind of say, you know what, I'm not doing so hot. I kind of feel a little bit stressed or worried or sad. And then all of a sudden you hear other people begin to share the same thing. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I think we're all kind of in that same boat. And we are. But when we all together begin to realize what this means, not just for ourselves, but means for our friends and family members, we begin to have influence. Because like I said, I don't know another person on this planet who wouldn't like to have eternal life. I don't know another person on this planet who would love just to feel the freedom of security that their life is significant and meaningful. I don't know another person on this planet who wouldn't want to have more peace and joy in their life, even though everything around them may be chaotic, but they have this peace that surpasses understanding. I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to have a love that is so deep and rich and profound. No, everybody desires those things. And you and I, we have the opportunity to give that away to other people. But there's no way that that's going to have that kind of influence, or nobody's going to experience that gift if we just hide it under that box. I believe that it's time for us to live our lives in the light of the beauty and the wonderfulness of God's love for us, and that we live that way in our culture, in our society. I'm not saying that you would use this as a crucifix and pound people with that, and sometimes Christians do, but you know what? That doesn't give clarity. That brings confusion. Really, I think what has always been God's desire and His key all the way from the beginning was just for us to give our life away to other people, that we share our lives with other people. And that means sharing the most important things to other people. And I would bet, if you're a Christ follower, I bet deep down inside, by going through all of these things, remembering, you know, that somebody took the, you know, who loved you enough to share what was important to them to you, and you remembering how much this is so important to you, and remembering that all the wonderful gifts that you have are exactly the things that the people of this world and everybody in the world that really desires to have it deep down inside. I believe that if you recognize those things and that all you did was just simply shared your life and just simply shared the beautiful, wonderful gifts that God has given you. Not as a sales job, not try to get people to, you know, to come to River Run or church, but just simply to give them what God has given you, to share that blessing with other people. I believe that influence will change people's lives. In fact, that's been what's been happening all around the world for the last 2,000 years. And so Paul goes on and he says this, remember what it means to other people. Because it meant a lot to Peter, and it meant a lot to the 12, it meant a lot to 500 people, it meant a lot to James, it meant a lot to the apostles. Because you know what? When Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen by Peter. See, when Jesus came and he was arrested, Peter ran away, denied him three times. He ran away with like the 12 other people. But when they saw Jesus, you know what Jesus did? He didn't shame them. You know what he did? He brought them back into an intimate relationship with him. And so Peter and the 12 who ran away from him, they turned their hearts back to God. And not only that, but all of them were willing to die. You know why? Because they understood now, seeing a risen Lord, that their life is eternal. And then after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive at the time of this writing, Paul would say, though some have died. And then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles, all of these guys, this great news of Jesus Christ and the historical reality of it changed their lives, by which they just began to give their lives to other people as well. Share the gifts that God has given them out into the world, by which you and I, 2,000 years later in Florida, are beneficiaries of that. And then Paul says this, and I love this. And then last of all, you know, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw Jesus Christ. For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm even not even worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted God's church. I was an enemy of God and of Christians. I was the one that made Christians not want to be around, because I threw them in prison. If they got stoned or beaten, I was like, I'm all for that, you know? And I was an antagonist towards God and towards his people. But you know what? I pass on to you what has been passed on to me, that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. And not only that, he took somebody like me who was against him and did awful, ugly things to other people. And he forgave me through his sacrifice on the cross. By his grace, he brought me back into an intimate relationship with him. And he gave me meaning and purpose. And so now I'm just sharing with you, Corinthians, my story of a person who was once a persecutor of God, who now is a person who's been changed because somebody shared with me the reality of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so now I share it with you. And so I pass it on to you what is most important. And so as I kind of finish up my time with you here, let me encourage you, just remember the time when, you know, when somebody shared the good news to you, that you would take the time to remember what that's meant to you, and to remember as well. You'd be surprised that those people that you'll see tomorrow, or actually not tomorrow, it's Labor Day, that's awesome, that you will see later on this week at work, you'll be surprised that all of them would love to be secure in knowing where they're going after they die. Love to know that they can have a peace and a joy and a relationship with a God who loves them. And they can have a relationship with other people where they can just be open and honest and be with themselves. That is the influence and the gift that we have to the world. That is the light that we have to give to a confused world. And so we're going to sing a song here that I think encapsulates kind of this idea that God really desires for us to have. And that's it, is this, that really sharing Jesus with other people, you know what it really is? All it is just bragging to other people about how awesome God is. It's just bragging to other people about that, you know what? This God loves me so much and he loves you too. He's the living God who desires a relationship with you. Let me tell you how awesome he is. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. One of the things I love about the Apostle Paul, all throughout his letters and also through Acts, which is kind of a history of the early church, you see that Paul just always just shared his story. His story of just bragging on God, what God did to this guy who just persecuted the church, even was like happy when Christians when died. And he shared the story of when God just got a hold of him, didn't judge him and pound on him, but forgave him, gave him grace, gave him love. And he kept passing on that story to the next generation. So as you listen to this song, what I want you to do is I just want you to just open your heart and your mind and to remind yourselves all of the wonderful things that God has done for you. You know what worship is? Worship is just simply bragging to God about God. Sharing the good news to other people is just simply bragging to other people what God has done in your life. And so what we're going to do is just take some time to have and just brag to God, you know, what he's done to our lives. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your love in our lives. I thank you so much that you just love us. And that God, I just pray that you just remind us to go back to the simplicity of what you've done for us. The simplicity of your love, the simplicity of your sacrifice, born out of that love, the simplicity that you just want us to have a relationship with you, the simplicity of realizing that you have great things ahead for us, that you give us eternal life with you forever. And so, Father, as we sing this song, I pray that you would just stir within our hearts in remembrance of all the great things. And so as you stir our hearts, God, we just want to brag to you how awesome you are. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.